Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. You are listening to The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Scott Evans. And today, because Zuri Hall is out, my mama, Kelly Evans Johnson, is in the building. I'm gonna call you Kelly Diane.
Or you could call me Candy. Remember from EL?
You throwing all the now you're gonna put the elite ladies from high school all up in.
Yes.
You probably got at least four or five members right now talking about EL.
That's what, yeah. Hey,
you know right it. Now. Right now.
Yep. Sitting by somebody's pool.
With what was that cocktail that y'all drank?
Which you one? Can't,
right, that part.
That part.
Well, it's funny because you and I have had, at least in quarantine, some public conversations about mm-hmm. things that have happened in our country, things that have happened societally, culturally, that kind of thing. But yeah. I thought it was also just a good opportunity for people to just meet you, you know what I mean? And kind of see where I come from, kind of get to know you a little bit. Hmm. I have known you for 34 years now.
34? You've known me for 34?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Give or take. But yeah. Give or take. About 34 years. And one thing I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt is you are my mom.
I'm definitely that.
Like, I get it from you.
That's funny that you say it because I see you sometimes and hear you sometimes and I'm like, nah, he knows that's what I told him.
Oh, I'll be stealing.
I know. It's so
and like
funny.
It's like I just thought of this thing to say that my mama told me yesterday.
Yeah, it's good though. I love it. And you're right. It is. It is definitely, you are definitely my son. You are my son.
Okay, so for people who, for those listeners who are not elite ladies, who mm-hmm. were not a part of the group that you ran with in middle school and high school, how would you describe where you grew up? How would you describe your upbringing?
My upbringing was very Midwest, small town-ish, dead-end street on purpose so that we could play without being worried about cars and traffic and all that stuff. For most of my childhood, I had a two-parent household of my mother and my father. Mm-hmm. And then circumstances and situations caused that to change up a little bit where my mother and father got divorced, but then my mother remarried. So there was still another male parental figure there. So but it was all American, if you can say that. I mean, I had a diverse group of friends. I have two brothers and a sister. I have an older brother, an older sister, and a baby brother, a little brother. He would hate that I called him baby brother, but I do it all the time. Yeah, he's a big boy. But that's how I grew up. Later in life, we have additional siblings because my father decided that, oh, well, I'm going to get married and have some more kids. And so that's what he did. And that's cool. I mean, you know, no judgment there. But I mean, seriously, like, that's fine. But it was very Mayberry almost. Like, we went to bed without our doors locked, and it was
right. a different time.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have this experience growing up. You move to New York. You meet my dad.
Yep.
You have me.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I ask about your childhood and really what your upbringing was like, it's a question I ask all of my own podcast guests, how they describe how they came up, because I think in a lot of ways it informs what were the things that were important to them. Their personality was either forged in that or persevered, you know what I mean, in spite of their upbringing.
Yeah.
So I'm just always curious about how people describe that.
How would you describe yours?
I would say that it was me and you for 13 years.
13 years.
Like, it was just...
ride or die.
Yeah, it was me and you in New York and in New Jersey and in Indianapolis. It was me and you. And then I remember praying along with you for a sibling.
Yeah.
And
you needed it.
So yeah, I mean, that's how I would describe it. It was me and you for 13 years. And then it was me, you, Faith, and Hannah, my little sisters. So, and now it's me and Faith.
Yay.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
You're doing such a great job with her.
single parent life. Woo.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would you say? I mean, it is, you are a single parent.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is one of the greatest things about you, because it's your strength is on full display every day. Like, you have to be strong for the three of us every day. And I just remember always feeling like, even as a kid, always feeling like you were the strongest person. Like, there was nobody tougher than you. There was nobody. And I don't mean like, well, kind of sometimes, like sometimes meaner than you.
Everybody says I was mean, but that's okay. It wasn't that I was mean. It was that I was strict and I didn't take no crap.
Right. Do you remember sending me to military school?
Absolutely. 100,000% remember sending you to military boot camp. I absolutely do.
People don't believe me when I say that this was something that happened in my life.
Oh, yeah. And you were young when I
did. Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Yes, but you needed that. You needed to be able to experience what for real discipline looked like. So that you could be like, oh, mommy's so sweet. She's such a good mama.
oh, okay. That was the motivation. Got it. No, one of the reasons I bring up you being a single mom is because I know the challenges that you must have faced. Could you have ever imagined that your kids would, I don't want this to sound funny or like silly or crazy, but I do wake up sometimes in the morning feeling like I'm living my wildest dream.
Isn't that amazing?
And I wonder for you, did you always know that would be how your kids would live their life? Like, that was going to be what you instilled in us, was like, you're going to go after it. You're not going to care what anybody thinks, including me sometimes.
I think that you can answer that better than I can. I think that you just answered it. It is absolutely positively the only thing, not the only thing, but one of the major things that matters, right? It is that these are the things. You are loved. You are worthy of love. You are valuable. And you get to do whatever you want to do. And if you want to sit on the couch and eat potato chips and watch TV, hey, you can do that. But you were destined to be something greater than that. Not that there's anything wrong with sitting on the couch and watch TV if that's what you choose for your life. But.
Well, maybe a little something, but you know.
Well, not, you know, every day. Hey, if that's what you want to do.
Got out the golf clap.
Yeah. And it is literally, for me, pursue the thing that works for you. The thing that is the thing for you. And so you know, I used to really like thrive off of and be, you know, braggadocious a bit about being a single parent. Well, I don't care about that. You know, single parent, parent with the husband, parent with the partner, whatever. The bottom line is parenting and mothering your kid and kids. And so I am often, and I think that you probably can attest to this probably in the last couple of weeks, that I'm so excited and proud for you and what you're doing in your life right now that I'm like, I can't wait. I gotta get out there. I gotta see what's going on. I gotta, and I'm gonna bring my friends, I'm gonna bring my cousins, and I'm gonna bring my whole, and I'm gonna do that. And we just gonna be, we're gonna be at Scott's house. And the thing that's so really amazing too about that is that you're like, yeah, come on, come on. Yeah, no problem, come on. So yeah, it really is extraordinary to see you and doing your thing. And I kept trying to wonder if I was excited about you buying a house in California, because I was like, well, I guess that means you're going to be there.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, he ain't going like back to Indianapolis.
I'm not moving back to Indianapolis. Okay. Been gone from Indianapolis for 15 years. Like, oh, well, I guess he's going to lay down some roots.
Which is wonderful. Which is wonderful. It's wonderful.
So tell me this. Did you always know that I would end up in the entertainment business? Did you always have an idea that this would be the thing I would be doing?
I always felt like it was going to be something like this for sure. Because Scott, you have been first of all, you have been talking.
Okay.
Since birth.
All right.
Literally, like I would call my mother and be like, I think he's talking. And I would put the phone up to her, to your ear, and she'd talk to you and you would talk back. Like she would say something and you would say, oh. So we were like, what the fudge? Okay, he's really talking. Like you were having conversations. Okay. And then, you know, all through your academic life, that was a challenge. You know, you run your mouth.
A challenge? So, what you trying to say was a challenge? You mean for the classroom?
Yes, because you were disruptive.
Well, I was not disruptive. I was curious and opinionated. And also
bored?
Needed to understand. I just needed to understand, like, why is this the way that we're doing this? Yeah. Like, why is long division does not make any sense when we have calculators? We all know the calculators are right there. Why do we have to learn to do it this way?
Because one understand. Day you might not have a calculator.
Or one day I'll have a calculator in my pocket everywhere I go, well, in my phone.
How about you need to know how to count change back?
Why? We can't even use cash after COVID. It's gonna
nobody
be a
knew COVID was coming.
Okay, so was there a moment though where you were like, this kid has to be in some sort of performance class? This, we gotta channel this energy. This is, or that this was a little different than, you know, most kids who are just talkative or bored or understimulated necessarily in the traditional classroom.
Well, there were several of those moments, but I'll tell you of the one that is the most noted. I worked for Indiana Black Expo, and we had a volunteer picnic at Riverside Park. Reverend Charles Williams was the president of Indiana Black Expo at the time, who he's now passed, you know. And we were, you know, they were doing all kinds of stuff. They had the volunteers were barbecue, cooking, games, all that stuff. And you entered yourself into the talent competition and you lip synced SWV's I Get So Weak in the Knees from top to bottom. And by the time you finished, the whole group of people, hundreds of people, were just like, yay! And then Reverend Williams said to me, that boy going places, he got it. He got it. And I said, maybe he got it. Maybe he's going to be the one to do the dang on thing. And sure enough, I mean, and I think the thing that also should be said here is that you always knew what you wanted to do. Whether it was, I'm going to play this Nintendo with this boy who I just got in a fight with, or I'm going to leave college to my mother's dismay and move all the way across the country to California and seek my fortune. to, yeah, I think I'm just going to eat some peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't need a big meal for dinner. Like you say, I want this, and then you go get it. But I do think that that is partially because of how you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that that's partially because of your genetics. Like your father was that dude. Like he was totally, oh, I'm going to get that and go get it. And your mama's the same way, just on a low key kind of way, you know? And the other thing that I think is true too, and I think it's something that you and Faith and even Hannah are inspiring me to do even now, is to dream bigger, to think bigger. I was cool with just, you know, my little 2-3 bedroom apartment, you know,
right,
little Firebird, whatever, and keep it moving. But
my mom came to pick me up from elementary school in a electric blue Camaro, 92, 93, IROC. Like I'm talking top of the line, T-tops, and usually in vogue blasting. If not in vogue, it was Queen Latifah.
Or
if it wasn't Queen Latifah, it was Petra or Salt and Pepper.
Or,
and if it wasn't any of that, she might have had on a Kirk Franklin situation. You know what I'm saying?
Or
a Yolanda Adams situation. Well, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Nelly?
Or some Snoop.
Yeah. I mean, she, right. See, I was going to try to leave the Snoop D-O-double-G out of this one, but, you know, casual.
Street, sipping on. Laid back with my mind.
Did you just radio edit?
I did.
Your own?
It was good, too, wasn't it? It was good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I know how to do that.
My mom she always has been the cool mom. Now, when I say the cool mom, you were a cool person. You were not cool mom. You were not like, yeah, have the kids over here and let's make s'mores and you guys can drink beers. Like that was not.
No, but I still was the cool mom. That's not a cool mom. That's a out of control mom.
That's cool mom. Hey, cool mom. I'm cool mom, right? Cool mom.
Yes. That's not. I was a cool mom with boundaries. I had limits.
Oh, I'll never forget bringing you to West Lafayette for a cookout at my apartment.
Oh my.
And my friend Julian, who has gone to boarding school in Switzerland, introduced me to a hookah. And what a hookah pipe is, basically, for those who are not familiar, is a water pipe. Now, and you smoke like a tobacco product. It's usually a tobacco and molasses with fruit. You know, it's that kind of situation. So didn't even think twice about it. We bring out, Julian brings out the hookah, this big, beautiful glass, gold, something he bought overseas. He loads it up, throws the charcoal on there and goes to hand my mom the, what is it called? The smoking part, right? Goes to hand the hookah to my mom, and she looks at him like, I know y'all not about to sit here in my face and smoke this reefer. And I was like, Mom, that's not reefer. That's not weed.
Yes, it's tobacco. Was.
She said, I have smoked. I know what reefer is.
Right.
I was born at night, not last night. I can't believe you done brought me all the way up here to West Lafayette, Indiana to disrespect me.
Right.
In my face. I was like, Mom.
Y'all really gonna smoke the hookah in my face?
Mom.
Y'all really
you want us to smoke it outside? It's hookah. She was like, what I need you to do is put it away.
Put it up.
I still think you think we were smoking. Yeah. I still think you think we were smoking weed and we were not.
You were.
We were not.
Okay.
It's legal now. Ha ha.
It wasn't then. And poor little baby Hannah probably won't forget it either. She was in the
get out of here.
She was in the little seat, like, what's going on? Ooh, what's Hannah, that smell?
Hannah was born. You know, this is controversial for me to say, but she was born either 3 days or a week before my senior graduation from high school.
Oh my Lord. What was she? Yes, she was. It was 3 days. It was about 3 days.
Or a week.
No, she was born on like a Tuesday. Your graduation was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, for real. They were trying to not let me leave the hospital. I'm like, oh, no. You can keep the baby. I've got to go. I got to go to my son's graduation. I will not be missing that. So if it means you got to keep this baby and I come back and get her, that's cool. I'll be back. She's in good hands. But the best situation is that you give me my baby and we get to leave this hospital so I can get to this graduation, because we're not having that. And I have had a cesarean too. Oh, no. We're not playing that. I got to go.
Days after a cesarean, your second cesarean, mm-hmm. you were like, I'm going to be at this graduation. So then weren't you in a wheelchair?
No, I wasn't in no wheelchair. I'm a single parent, boy.
I remember you walking up to the stage when I was getting my diploma.
Absolutely. Had
like
to.
They were going to hand us both one.
We both got that mug. I'll tell you, I don't know if I ever told you this, but the real reason for that was so that you could see that I was there. I wanted you to know that I made it, because it was iffy.
Yeah. I mean, we had cell phones at the time, but we didn't really have cell phones, right?
Right.
I had top up minutes. Right. You know, I had weekends.
You were so excited when I gave that to you.
We had, but it was a weekend, so I had free minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I had, nights and weekends, 7 o'clock. I had 7 o'clock starting free minutes, as a matter of fact. I remember when my rollover minutes kicked off with Singular Wireless, boy.
Oh, woo. Man, isn't that something?
Those were the days. With a flip phone?
The whole flip phone.
What was your favorite of all the trends that you have seen in your time that you have been alive? I'm talking from a kid to now. What has been your favorite trend? Like the one that you, if people wouldn't laugh or people wouldn't clown you, or if you were just more comfortable, that you probably still rock?
I don't know. Let's see. I really liked the green machines as a kid.
The what?
Like the big wheel, the green machine, the big wheel.
A green machine?
Yeah, it's a, I'll have to send you a picture of it, you know, because you wouldn't even have
it. It's like a bike?
Sort of. It's, yeah, but it's the low rider. It's a rides on the ground. Yeah. I've always been into the sporty type of thing.
Always the sport with you.
Yeah,
the sport of it all.
Yeah.
I remember you in combat boots. I remember you with cargo pants, bright, like orange, bright neon green, and combat boots.
So we're talking about the 90s.
Or cowboy boots.
Now, cowboy boots, that's still my thing. I still love cowboy boots. I would wear cowboy boots in the summer, in the dead 100 degree weather. You know, it was my red cowboy. I just had this conversation with Kelly. These red cowboy boots are what drew Dr. Dre's attention to me when he came to concert in Indianapolis and asked me to ride in his limousine with him.
Okay.
Me and your Aunt Nicole.
But of course you didn't get in.
Definitely got in the limousine. Yes, we did. Me and Nicole got in the limousine and we most definitely went back to his hotel room. And we most definitely drank Long Island iced teas.
Hey,
we most definitely said, all right, peace out. We out now. Bye. Thank you for the drink.
And the ride in your limousine. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. This was fun.
Oh gosh. Okay. Tell
Dr.
me
Dre
this.
And Snoop.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's reliving an experience for you when you play the music. Okay. I got it.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what was one of your, you know, as a kid, you always give like cheesy Mother's Day gifts. Do you remember a particular Mother's Day gift from us? You don't. Look at you.
I got from when you were little kids.
Sure. Anytime.
Yeah. Like you like I was the king. I was the queen, but you were the king of the coupon book.
Here is one free hug.
Right. But you know, I'm trying to think, did I get the washer and dryer for Mother's Day?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was that just because you were being a good son and said, oh, let me get my mother a washer and dryer?
That might have been Mother's Day.
I can't remember. But every day with you guys is Mother's Day. You guys always just...
Oh, nice save. Nice save.
No, it's legit. You guys are really very thoughtful when it comes to me, and I appreciate that.
Okay, I want to go through some of these quiz questions with you.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so we're going to go kind of quick on these.
All right.
Okay.
You don't want the first thing to come out of my mouth, though.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay, what is your favorite event I've taken you to?
Tyler Perry. The opening of Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm. Studio opening in Atlanta for Tyler Perry. That was a moment. I have to show you something. I can't show it to you now.
That was a weekend. That was more than a moment. That was several moments strung together that reside right here in my teeny weeny heart.
Do you remember meeting Oprah?
I do.
Do you remember me interrupting the conversation?
Yeah. Yeah, because you were like, then if I tell me, I can't talk to Oprah.
That I cannot confirm or deny that was a conversation that happened. It just is like a...
But here's the thing that's so crazy about that to me. Meeting Oprah was very, very great and wonderful. But I think the real memorable moment to that for me was she turned around and saw us walking towards her and she said, "Scotty." And I'm like, how are you just going to be calling my son Scott? Do you know him like that? But then that quickly went away because it was like, oh my God, Oprah just called you Scotty. Oprah Winfrey has called you Scotty. Oh, shoot. I guess I can let Oprah call you Scotty because, you know, that was not allowed.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I went from Matthew to Scott. People changing your name.
Are they just gonna change your name?
But Scotty is different than Matt to me. But okay. I agree. But I also I can believe what you feel.
Yeah, I mean, like if that's for you, that's for you. For me as your mother, that was like, no, his name is Scott, call him Scott. We still like on the forms that you have to fill out, they say, okay, well, what do we call you? What do we call you? Scott.
Okay, tell me one celebrity you still want to meet.
You know who I do want to meet? Andra Day.
You haven't met Andra?
I have not met her.
No. We were on the phone right after. You're right.
No, I want to meet her.
Golden Globe winner, Andra Day. Okay. Golden Globe winner, Andra Day. Who were you the most starstruck by when you did meet?
I'm gonna say Will Smith, except that I didn't, but we like connected.
Yeah, because you told him, I did a paper on you in my class.
Yeah, well, it was that my speech teacher showed his speech about jumping out of a plane as a way to deliver a speech. And then we went on to deliver our speeches and I got an A on that speech based off of my trying to emulate Will Smith and in the delivery.
I remember you saying to him,
and I aced that mug.
And the cackle that he let out was from the bottom of his soul.
It was.
He was so tickled. He was so tickled.
But I was in awe of him because he's like this really huge personality. But when we started to chat, it was like, oh, this is my boy. We cool. This ain't nothing. Yeah.
Okay, what was your favorite TV show as a kid?
As a kid, let's go with Hee Haw.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hee Haw.
Well, y'all remember we only had like three channels.
What about now?
Right now, you know, I got The Handmaid's Tale came out. The new season is out. And so I'm stuck on that.
Handmaid's Tale?
Scott, yes.
Why are you watching The Handmaid's Tale? Mom, it's too dark.
But it's so good. But you know what else? The other show that I liked that you didn't want me to watch was Breaking Bad. I really liked it a lot. Breaking Bad.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I know people are listening to this like, it was one of the greatest shows on television ever. I ain't gonna say that. But I couldn't. When he took down the whole trap, the whole crack city with a beaker and a pair of tweezers, I was like, I'm out.
Hey, this is how they doing it out here in these streets, man. They out here.
I'm out. Can't do it. I'm out.
It was something.
Okay, let's see. What is your favorite movie?
You know, it really kind of changes. It changes right now. Today, I would say The Color Purple.
I knew you were going to say The
Purple Rain.
Purple is a theme.
Purple Rain, Dreamgirls.
Okay.
And West Side Story.
How do you feel about West Side Story coming back, the remake? Rita Moreno is involved.
Yeah, that's great. And I saw that. I'm not really off into the remake stuff. I like the originals because you see.
When you're a jet, all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, one album. You get one album to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it? One.
I would probably go with the 1999 Prince.
Huh. Okay, so you know on The Vault, we go back in the day. Speaking of back in the day, we go back in the day over 25 years of interviews with some of the biggest names and even some of the smallest names in Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. Some of your favorite people in this business.
I have so many favorites.
Tell me who you think should be our next one.
Denzel.
Oh, Denzel.
Or Denzel, you know, Washington. Who else? You know, or Aquaman.
Who? Really? Mm-hmm. You really got a thing for this man. Like with the scrunchie and all, like you were really all about it.
I'm sorry to this man, but I, this is truth. No, I really do like him. I think that Jason is the bomb. And you know what? I think it's not only just the way he looks and, you know, his projects or whatever, but he seems to be such a down to earth, cool dude. Like somebody.
Jason Momoa?
Yes. But I would need Jason to also be with Lisa too.
Yes. I mean, like, you remember on the Oscar carpet, them giving you the shout out.
Yes, because we're kindred.
See? Okay, so then you get you get five guests at a dinner party.
Five guests at a dinner party.
Who is it?
Kevin Hart. The Rock.
Okay.
Andrew Day.
Okay.
Cynthia Erivo.
Okay.
And Oprah. Oh, and Tyler Perry. Six. I got six. I got seven because Snoop got to come too.
Oh, so we just going
to keep... Well, I'm going to have eight because Snoop got to bring Martha.
I don't know. Martha may not... she may not RSVP based on the last interaction I had with her. I thoroughly embarrassed myself.
Why?
Tequila. Walked right up to her and said, you know, I wasn't sure about you. What? What are you doing? I said, I wasn't sure about you until you linked up with Snoop Dogg. Fortunately, she was also pretty enjoying the spirit of the evening.
Oh, my word.
And she said, wait till you see this. And she shows me on her phone, or she goes to show me, you know how you're looking through your phone, through your photos. And normally that signals a look away from a person, right? You don't look through as they're trying to find the photo.
Oh, I'm
you
looking don't look at their photos. You I'm don't, looking with them.
You're not supposed I'm to
looking,
do that.
I'm looking.
You're not supposed to do that. So I must have done like a look, like a look and a lean. And she said, she looked at me and she said, excuse me. I said, Miss Stewart, I don't know what came over me. Miss Stewart. Meanwhile, I done walked up to you not 37 seconds, a minute ago and said, you know, I'm not sure about you, but now I want to put some respect on the Miss Stewart.
Right, right, right.
She finds the photo and she goes, look at this. And it is her or is she along with Snoop Dogg smoking the biggest blunts I have ever seen in my life. They were like the size of a baby's forearm. And she was like, she took it out of her mouth. And then like the smoke like billowed that out of her mouth hilarious. A little bit and into her nose. And I said, is this real? She said, as a heart attack.
You said, might get an invite to the crib then.
I said, you know what? On that note, I bid you adieu.
I'm gonna have to leave you alone because I can't even
you know what there. You got it. You got it, girl. You got it. I gave her a hug and walked on. It was like
that is hilarious.
And when I woke up the next morning, you know how you had like flashbacks of the night
Yeah.
And then somebody tells you something, you don't remember that, but then they tell you something else and you're like, oh yeah, the thing that the friend said, you remember talking to Martha Stewart? And I was like, yeah, I thought that was a dream. I was hoping that wasn't real. It's so funny. Wait, just found out I may be interviewing Martha Stewart next week. No!
I need to be a fly on the wall for that one.
It's going to be so awkward.
You just have to be like, girl, you know what?
Have I ever embarrassed you? I mean, I have embarrassed me, but have I ever embarrassed you?
I wouldn't say, well, maybe. I don't know. I don't think that I could say I've been embarrassed by you at all. No. Mm-mm. I'm sure that I've embarrassed you. But, you know, that's my job.
Yeah, that's a different show.
Yeah.
All right. You know, so thank you so much, Mom, for joining us.
This is the exit. Okay, you're done now.
They're playing our music. Can you hear the music?
I'm going to be like Viola Davis. Forget that music.
Turns out we're out of time on this episode. Listen, Mom, I have enjoyed this. I love you so much.
I love you, too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. You make me happy. You make my heart smile. You are an inspiration. And you're an excellent, excellent son. You do very well by me. I'm extremely proud of you. And I'm just going to tell you this too. I'm proud of who you are. All of this stuff on the outside, that's cool. And those are great markers for your hard work. But the person that you are, extraordinary, extraordinary. And if you do nothing else with your career or whatever, where you are and who you are today and who you're growing and becoming daily, I am super, super proud of. I could not have asked for a better son. And like LL Cool J said, you're doing it and doing it well. And I love it. I love being on the sideline of your life.
Sideline? Yeah. Get out of here.
Well, you know, until I force my way to the top.
Mom, I love you.
I love you too.
I love you. Okay. Well, and thank you all for joining us on this very special edition of The Vault by Access Hollywood. Please do not forget, if you haven't subscribed to the show by now, tell the people they can do it on Apple Podcasts. Tell them they can do it on Spotify. Or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next one.
Just get it done.
I love you.
I love you too.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.